outstanding.
You are outstanding.
Every day.
7 days a week.
That's it.
365 days a year.
I refuse to be anything else.
You are always outstanding. There's a lot of outstanding things going on with the show today. There's a new Bridgestone Arena 30-year lease proposal that could become official next month that would keep the Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena through 2049.
That would make me about an even 100.
Floyd, I might be a grandfather
yes.
by the time that lease ends. That's a scary thought because I'm not even a father yet. But you can go to our Twitter account at 1025thegame to read all the details. It includes $350 million of renovations to the arena over the next couple decades. Cool stuff. I think it includes a new press box, Floyd, which has all the Preds media very, very happy today.
Big smile.
On social media. Mayor David Brierley will join us at 3:45 to discuss further. Also, your friend and former confidant, or lack of a better word, Scott Pioli resigning as assistant GM with the Atlanta Falcons. A little surprising news there this afternoon.
Yeah, I was surprised at that. You know, Scott and of course, you know, about half of the guys in the executive group at Atlanta are all old New England guys, and Scott was the head of that department then, and so he had almost all of those guys working under him, and I don't know, you know, I said before, I don't know if this may be something to do with the Jet job or not, because I'm sure the Jets were very familiar with him, because I think he was there with Bill and Bill, and then left and went with Belichick, of course, in New England. So I don't know. He may be headed back, and maybe nothing. He may be, you know, just time to hang it up. I'm going to go down on the lake in Georgia and fish.
Or go on sports talk radio like you did.
Yeah, there you go.
But we have to start with last night's Game 3 of the Western Conference Final in the National Hockey League between the San Jose Sharks and the St. Louis Blues. Floyd, I assume you were fast asleep when this happened in overtime last night. Now, the Sharks and Blues, I know Jared on here has been kind of wailing on that series, how boring it's been. Last night was anything but boring, with the Blues leading 4-3 late in the third period. Logan Couture for the San Jose Sharks ties the game with about a minute left to send that game to overtime, tied 4-4. Then early in overtime, there's a play in the Blues defensive zone where the puck goes in the air. As it's coming back down, Timo Meier of the San Jose Sharks bats the puck kind of towards the middle of the slot. Gustav Nyquist takes the puck, shovels it over to Erik Karlsson. Karlsson scores the overtime winner. And the St. Louis Blues lost their ever-loving minds. Lost their ever-loving minds because it was a hand pass. It was a hand pass from Timo Meier to Nyquist, which resulted directly in Erik Karlsson scoring that goal. Jordan Binnington was mad. Braden Schenn was mad of the St. Louis Blues. Alex Pietrangelo was mad. Craig Berube, their head coach, was mad. Everybody in St. Louis was losing their minds. Everybody on social media was losing their minds, blaming the officials on the ice for what happened. Asking the questions, why didn't any of the four officials on the ice see it live? Well, the ref that should have called that a hand pass, in my opinion, was in position behind the net, and he was blocked by two players from seeing Meier commit the hand pass. And I think a lot of people will say the league is so fast, these things happen in an instant, and it might be possible that all four refs had their eyes directed in that split second at something other than Timo Meier.
Right.
And in that split second, Timo Meier commits the hand pass, and the Sharks win in overtime, and the Sharks' run of great luck with officiating continues. For me, Floyd, the blame goes squarely on the National Hockey League for that play last night. Now, yes, it's frustrating that the refs didn't see it. I don't want to sit here and defend the refs. We will get to them here in a little bit. But for me, the blame goes squarely on the National Hockey League for not allowing that play to be reviewed. That means, in my opinion, the current system is flawed, because if Timo Meier were to bat that puck into the net and the refs miss it, the league can review it. Timo Meier commits a hand pass that ultimately results in Erik Karlsson scoring the league can't review it because the puck didn't directly go into the net after the hand pass. What did you make of that play last night when you saw it this morning for the first time?
Well, of course, you're surprised that it wasn't called. I think we're seeing, and we talked about this earlier, I mean, we're seeing in these real close games, officials having such a direct impact on the game anymore. And this is almost identical to what happened in the NFL. You know, that play was also unreviewable.
The Rams, New Orleans. The Rams Saints, yes. NFC Championship.
Yes. Race. And that play was also unreviewable. And it was blatant, just like this was. And it's a bad situation to get in. I mean, it's hard. They're caught in a catch-22 because you can't, in my opinion, people say, well, let's review the last 2 minutes or just review the overtimes or just review a certain part of the game. Well, then the argument comes up, okay, what if this game ends up 1-0? That's the one score, and it happens in the first period. Doesn't
right.
make it any less egregious. I mean, it's still going to cost you a game, and it was an illegal play.
Or whether it happens in the playoffs or in November,
yeah,
when who knows if that game for said hockey team or said football team could result in you making or missing the playoffs.
Making a difference, you know, somewhere along the line. So, you know, you go to – and yet you can't – and we see this in basketball, I think, more – maybe even more than football in the latter stages of a basketball game where – in college, they'll want to review every single event. You know, who hit it out of bounds? Did they touch it? Was it, you know, a foul? All of these different things they'll go through and review, and it'll eat up 2-3, you know, minutes at a time. People don't like that. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't like it in the NFL, and they won't like it in the NHL. You know, where they say, okay, we'll review all of those kinds of plays, all plays that you have a problem with, throw a flag. Well, now all of a sudden, the hockey games are 5 hours long. Mm. You know, people not like that. So it's really a touchy situation because you know, the purpose, I know in the NFL, and we discussed this for years with replay, you know, do we want it? Is it going to slow the game down? You know, does it take the momentum out of the game? Does it do some of those kinds of things? And we said, none of that matters if we get it right. The sole purpose is to get it right. Well, now it's evolved to the point that getting it right involves just about reviewing every play that happens in every game at any point in time during the game,
mm-hmm.
which means automatically that the games are going to lengthen, and nobody wants that.
So you compare it to the Rams Saints NFC Championship, where there was a missed pass interference call that cost the Saints most likely a shot at the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think that was worse than what happened last night in terms of the officials on the field of play or on the ice in terms of last night, because the official was looking right at that one, and it was blatant pass interference. Last night, like I said, the official that was in position to make that call was blocked by a couple of players, and I can see why he may have missed it in that point in time. Now, I don't know where the other three officials' heads were at or eyes were at or in terms of where they were looking, but that exact play last night is why the NHL has to change the system this offseason. They can't change it now. They can't change it in the postseason because those are decisions that have to be made in the offseason, not in the middle of a postseason. The competition committee would have to meet to agree to do it, and they won't do that until the offseason. But, man, the NHL has serious egg on their face after last night. I mean,
yeah.
I noticed there were a lot of non-hockey people tweeting about that overtime goal, perplexed that a hand pass is not reviewable. And I thought Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean, our good friend, I thought his tweet last night was perfect. He goes, quote, "This is the year of the things that are reviewed that shouldn't be reviewed and the things that aren't reviewed that should be reviewed."
Yeah. And I understand everybody's frustration with it. I mean, I understand it completely. Yet, at what point, where do you draw the line? Because here's ultimately what is going to happen. You're ultimately going to be forced into reviewing everything in every game, which means now the games are 4.5 hours long. Well, people don't want to watch it for 4.5 hours. They're going to get tired of watching it after the fifth review. So if you don't do that, then you run the risk of that play that makes a difference in the game, you missing. And so I don't know what the right answer is. I really don't.
Well,
I
mean, and you don't know what the right answer is. I don't think I know what the right answer is, but I have some suggestions, and we'll get to those next.
All right.
In terms of what the NHL can do or should do to fix this officiating mess, or just the systematic mess of not being able to review an obvious hand pass that 18 or 19,000 people in Enterprise Center last night saw, that everybody on TV saw, everybody who was broadcasting the game, everybody on radio saw it, but the four officials on the ice did not see it, and they couldn't review it. So how does the NHL fix this moving forward? We'll get into that next. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, on Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. Jared of the GM, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, starting the show on last night's controversial finish in the Western Conference Final, Game 3 between the Blues and Sharks, in which the Sharks won 5-4 in overtime. But the main controversy coming from that game was the hand pass that was not reviewable in overtime that led to Erik Karlsson's overtime winner and the Sharks taking a 2-1 series lead over the St. Louis Blues. Now, Floyd, David on Twitter tweets in to me at Porthgame and says, quote, "Your narrative on the Sharks' goal last night is way off base. The puck wobbles when it redirects toward the pass to the goal. Now, it may have been off the D-man's leg, Jay Bouwmeester, but what I saw was off the hand passer's stick. Legal." Now, that is very tough to tell when you go back and watch it again. And here's the other point, Floyd, is that we have no idea what the refs on the ice were actually talking about inside their little circle in the moments after that goal. Like, we have zero idea if they were actually debating whether or not
it hit a stick,
or if they were just asking amongst themselves, did anybody see a hand pass? You know, like, well, we have no idea, because the NHL,
yeah,
they don't let their officials talk, just like most leagues. And Kate Whitmore, on behalf of the NHL, said a lot without saying anything to Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic in St. Louis. And we have no idea what the actual conversation was between those four refs.
Would a hand pass be made legal because it hit a stick?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Because once it hits the stick, it's no longer directly from hand to the other player. That would be the same, theoretically, as a puck in the air. You knock it down to your own stick and then passing it to another player.
So a hand pass is okay as long as you don't hand pass it to one of your guys?
Yeah, you could knock it down yourself. You can grab the puck without closing your hand on the puck.
Right.
Bat
and put
it down
it to the ground
and control the puck yourself.
But can I take the puck and sling it clear across the other side of the rink as long as I don't pass it to one of my guys?
If it's in the defensive zone. If you are in your defensive zone,
yeah.
Let's say PK Subban is trying to get the puck out on a penalty kill.
Okay.
And he lost a stick or a stick broke, and the puck is right in front of him. He can bat it or fling it down the ice with his hand. And that's the same as a clear. And if the Preds were the next one to touch the puck in the defensive zone under that rule, it would not be a hand pass.
Only in the defensive zone.
Correct. But this was in the offensive zone, obviously, for the Sharks.
Right. So what happens if you do it in the offensive zone? Same rule?
I don't know exactly what you're asking.
I mean, if I hand pass it at the other end of the ice, for whatever reason, it's hitting the air and I just grab it and sling it across the ice. I thought the hand pass in itself was illegal. Now, I know you can bat it down or knock it down, but just getting it in your hand or in a glove and flipping it in a direction is illegal. I thought that act in itself was illegal.
Outside of the defensive zone, yes. If you're in your own defensive zone and you bat it down the ice to clear the puck, or you're trying to get the puck to a teammate, because in this scenario, PK Subban has a broken stick and he can't control the puck with his stick, he can bat it to, let's say, Nick Bonino or Colton Sissons within the defensive zone, and then they can clear it. Hand passes are legal within the defensive zone.
Even if you have your stick?
Yes.
Even if you pass it to another teammate?
Yes.
Wow.
In the offensive zone, it is illegal. Now, okay. What this person tweeting in is saying that they think it redirected either off of Timo Meyer's stick or off Jay Bomeister's leg. It is very tough to tell whether that puck either hit the stick or Jay Bomeister's leg.
Yeah, I agree.
But that brings us back to the point of the National Hockey League was very silent on this issue. It was in all the stories on NHL.com, but if you went to NHL.com this morning and did not watch the game last night, you would have had no idea that this was a major controversy. Which
because
isn't very surprising because it's the National Hockey League site. Now, Ben Fredrickson, a columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, along these lines in terms of the NHL officials not talking, in his column this morning said, quote, The league should put an on-ice official on the stage in the post-game press conference room if there is a consensus among the media covering the game that a play needs to be addressed. If the officials won't agree, get new ones.
Are the officials in the NHL full-time?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, I mean, they work basically every other night.
Yeah, I mean, they work enough you'd think they'd be full-time.
Yeah, so we didn't hear much out of the National Hockey League itself last night. The players and the coaches were the ones talking after last night. And Floyd, listen to the contrast between these two star defensemen on these two teams, okay? Let's start with the Blues captain, Alex Pietrangelo, when he was asked about the hand pass.
Yes, there's a different set of rules for two different teams, so I'm sure they'll lose some sleep tonight after looking at it, but that's all I'm going to say about it.
Did you see a hand pass?
I said that's all I'm going to say about it.
That was Blues captain Alex Pietrangelo, which, to the Blues players' credit, when they spoke to the media after just looking totally infuriated on the ice, a lot of them took the high road last night.
He did. I thought that was really well handled, considering, you know, inside he was burning up.
He probably bit a hole in his tongue, but he bit his tongue. So that was Blues captain Alex Pietrangelo. Now let's hear Sharks defenseman Erik Karlsson, who scored the controversial goal in overtime.
Well, we weren't playing handball, were we? So we're playing hockey. I think, you know, we deserve to win this game. And at the end of the day, I think that neither team, you know, drew the shortest stick on any of the calls out there. So it's a fair game.
Erik Karlsson saying no team drew the short end of the stick. Okay, man.
Reminds you of politics.
Yeah.
They both saw the same action, and if you listen to him describe it, you have no clue.
I roll city out of Erik Karlsson there. Like, come on, dude.
That was great.
And every Sharks person interviewed after the game last night was dodging the question of the hand pass. Either they didn't see it or whatever. There was some sort of excuse, whether it was Martin Jones to Jeremy Roenick, whether it was any of the Sharks players at the podium, it was borderline hilarious / embarrassing because you know all of them saw it.
Oh, absolutely.
And then every single Blues person asked about it had to bite their tongue to the point where their tongues were probably bleeding.
And that's one of those where you, as you're going to the bench, if you're the one that just lost the game, you are screaming and yelling and throwing sticks, like the goalie pounding the sticks on the ice. And the other side is going off the ice and rolling their eyes, kind of like, oh, my God, did you guys see that?
Okay, to your point, last night I noticed this right away, and this was as – who was on the call last night for NBC?
It was Kenny Albert.
Kenny Albert and Joe Micheletti were in the process of calling this goal. You can hear in the background of the TV call someone, I would assume, either a Blues fan or a Blues coach or player, you know, it's not a Sharks player or coach, shouting in the background. Listen closely, Floyd. This was as it happened when Karlsson scored in overtime last night.
Nyquist with it. Sharks with numbers. Here comes Meyer down the right side. Timo Meyer with a shot. That did not make it through. Now Nyquist drops it off. Score! Erik Karlsson wins it for the Sharks in overtime. They lead the series 2-1.
I think the Blues are arguing that this was a hand pass. They're going to talk it over. That's what Binnington was, and I thought it was initially when I saw it. The Sharks stayed with
it. So that was the TV call. You can hear in the background, that's a hand pass!
Three times.
Clearly a hand pass!
That's great.
And it's like, okay, there was a hand pass there. Oh, and then they showed the replay. It's like, oh, my goodness, they just missed a hand pass.
Oh, jeez.
And you knew in that moment that there was nothing you could do about it.
Yeah. That's and every one of those, they're trying to, you know, look at each, hey, well, challenge it. Well, and then them saying, we can't. There's no review.
So, all right. So, I've got three different suggestions, Floyd, as to how the NHL can fix this moving forward. Because last night, they were not able to go back and review what was clearly a hand pass. David on Twitter disagrees. I disagree respectfully with you, David. But my suggestion to the NHL on Twitter last night was, you need to review all scoring plays like they do in the National Football League, plus all major penalties. That is the change that they need to put into place this offseason before next season, is review all scoring plays just like they do in the National Football League, plus all major penalties. Because
just
you
major.
Also had the major penalty that San Jose benefited from back in Game 7 of Round 1, where it was clearly not a major penalty in almost everybody's opinion, but it was called a major penalty. The Sharks go on and win Game 7 in large part because of that. So review all scoring plays like they do in the National Football League. Now, I also said eliminate the ability to challenge offsides. If the league can't catch an offsides via review before the puck drops, it wasn't an offsides worth calling. That was another point I made. But somebody then tweeted in and said, how far back do you look in terms of reviewing all scoring plays? Is it within 10 seconds of a goal? Is it within 20 seconds of a goal from the previous stoppage? Like, what do you do in terms of reviewing the scoring play? Like, how long is the scoring play? And I was texting with somebody last night in terms of somebody that I really respect in terms of knowing the game of hockey, and they were saying, for the purpose of reviewing scoring plays, it should be from the last change of possession before a goal is scored.
What happens if you review that goal and you see something else?
In terms of like a...
like a goalie interference.
Sure.
And it...
Let the league decide these and not have, oh, well, this can be reviewed, but this can't.
So any goal can be reviewed for any reason. As they're looking at the goal,
sure.
If they see a penalty someplace, they can call it off because they would have said they would have blown the whistle.
But they've got 30 seconds to do it in terms of when a goal is scored, between the goal being scored and the puck dropping, it's usually about 30 to 40 seconds in terms of real time when the players go and celebrate going skating down along the bench and then – The lines change, and then the puck is dropped. It's usually 30 to 40 seconds. What I'm proposing is if in those 30 to 40 seconds, the league sees something that they flag as needing to be reviewed, then they buzz down to the ice and say, we need to pause and review this, whether it's interference or a hand pass in last night's case or what have you, whatever a kicking motion, whatever it is, that the league is sitting there in Toronto in a war room watching. They are watching it in those 30 to 40 seconds, and if they catch something in that, they buzz down to the officials to right there at center ice, and they call the refs over, and the play is officially under review. That's number one that I'm proposing. Number two is a suggestion from somebody on Twitter, a well-known and well-respected hockey writer, Arpan Basu from The Athletic. He says, quote, officials should be allowed to request a review of any play they want. No additional challenges necessarily, but give the officials the option to admit they missed it and need another look.
Yeah, I don't see the hard part for me when it gets ambiguous like that. I mean, if I'm a ref, I'm reviewing every other play I saw because it's better to review it and get it right than it is to pass over it and have somebody screaming at you at the end of the game. And that's those are the kind of penalties. I understand why we would do it, but those are the kind of penalties that scare me, because you're going to have a group of refs. I assume that do they work in like teams like they do in the NFL? The
no.
Four.
No, they change all, it up a lot.
Okay, well then you're going to have an official like me that's a chicken, and he's saying, you know what? I'm not sure I saw that right. Let's go ahead and review that one. You know, let's be sure. And that way you're never falling into any criticism other than you do it a lot.
And then another suggestion I heard in terms of trying to fix this down the road for the NHL, one suggestion I heard last night was add one additional review per game from the team for the purposes of something like the hand pass tonight, where really the teams have one challenge that they can use on goalie interference and offsides. But you add one that they can use to challenge a scoring play.
Yeah, which I could see. I mean, I think it falls under the biggest problem with this particular play is just like the refs in the football game. The system itself was not broken. It's the refs that didn't call the play that was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this, maybe let's say somebody. Can you review a play like this, an unreviewable play? If I'm a ref, you know, do you change the rules? I don't
see. The thing is, Floyd, no matter how they were to change the rule or the system, it's going to open a controversial can of worms.
Oh yeah,
because that begs the question of where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line on a scoring play? That kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Is it within 10 seconds? Is it within 20 seconds? Is it from last change of possession? But I think we can both agree the National Hockey League has found itself in a pretty big mess.
Oh, yeah. And I think you've got one of two ways to go. You know, and I've thought about this for a long time, because in the NFL we talked about it for years and years and years. And you hear every argument on both sides of the table. But you either have to be willing to say, as long as we have human beings administrating our games, there are going to be mistakes. I mean, there is no way around it. We can try to cut the mistakes to a minimum, but at somewhere along the line, there's going to be a mistake. When you play games that are this close and this important, often, and you hear us talk about football, a flag often determines the outcome of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a no flag that determines the outcome of the game.
So let's take your calls on this, 615-737-1025. We also have a poll question up on Twitter. What's to blame for the mistakes in sports officiating that just seem to be constantly inconsistent? League rules, game speed, other, or do you feel like it's always been this bad and we're just seeing it more frequently because of the high-definition TVs that we watch that the officials on the field or on the ice don't get to see? They are seeing it with their own two eyes. We'll get into all that coming up next. Plus, later this hour, we'll hear what it sounded like on the Blues Radio Network last night when this all went down. That's all coming up next. He's Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon. Jared and the GM, alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Twitter poll at 102.5 The Game. What's to blame for the increasingly constant miscues in sports officiating? Referencing last night's blunder in St. Louis, Game 3 of the Western Conference Final, where the Sharks win 5-4 in overtime. And what appeared to be an obvious hand pass directly leading to Erik Karlsson scoring that game-winning goal. What's to blame for the constant miscues in sports officiating, Floyd? League rules, game speed, other, or it's always been this bad? Always been this bad is leading 40% so far. In terms of officials making mistakes, either on the field of play or on the ice.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think, and I don't have any stats to back this, but my gut feeling, you know, having been there for so long, I mean, it used to be a lot worse. I mean, a lot worse. I think what the difference now is these plays, although in my mind they're fewer, they are more impactful. Because in the old days, when you would go into a game and there would be maybe 10 penalties on each side, you know, they kind of balanced themselves out. You got a bad call, and then I got a good one. Well, the next time around, I got a bad call. You got a good one. And then so at the end of the game, in fact, I remember when I first got in the league, I worked for a coach, and he wanted us to keep track of the number of penalties and when they were called during a game. Because his theory was that the officials are going to take, you know, the breaks they have, look at the number of penalties that have been called, and balance it out. And sure enough, you'd go through halftime, and we'd have 10, and the other team would have 2. But at the end of the game, it'd be 13-14 or 14-30. You know, it'd be very, very close. And that was his theory. But now, these games are these penalties seem to be so much more impactful because these games are just so much more important or feel like they're more important, and everybody in the world can see it. Mm-hmm. Everybody, and if there's a mistake, it's clear cut and everybody can see it.
There are a lot of times where we at home have a better view than the officials.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Steve on Twitter says it has always been this bad. We do have more camera angles and replays. However, the biggest difference is social media magnifies every mistake, and by default, every miscue, big or small, has instant criticism that reaches millions.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's very, very true. And part of the problem, and that's why, you know, I think it's, you know, it boils down to what you're willing to accept, because it's going to happen. And you say, okay, fine, we'll let you, you know, we'll let you challenge anything. Well, there are going to be things that coaches don't challenge that did happen that a camera's going to pick up, and they're going to say, look at this. Look at this penalty. He should have challenged. Well, he didn't challenge. Well, the official should have called it. Then it's going to be right back in the official's lap again. You know, it's tough.
And that kind of goes back to Game 7 between Colorado and San Jose, where San Jose challenges for offsides on Colorado's second goal of the night, and they're showing replays of the second goal of the night, and everybody's thinking, well, where's the offsides? Well, the Sharks video coach or assistant video coach down in the bowels of the arena saw the camera angle where Gabriel Landeskog was still just a smidge inside the offensive zone while making a line change, and he was technically offsides.
Yeah.
So the goal comes back.
Yeah.
But no ref saw it.
No.
Nobody saw it. The cameras didn't really pick it up unless it was that blue line camera. Everybody, while watching the replays, were like, why are they challenging this?
And there used to be, I mean, we used to have debates when we were talking about this before where the maybe we thought at a point in time, maybe the most important thing are the number of cameras, because there are going to be those games where it's maybe not a high profile game at that, you know, way back then. Well, maybe there'd only be 10 cameras. But the next week, it was a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. There may be 25 cameras.
Yeah.
Well, that's 15 additional angles you have. And so you'd have to go into the game saying, okay, how many cameras we got up today? Okay, then we're not going to have this angle. We're not going to have the other angle. And the opposite of that was true, you know, depending on who you played.
Let's go to Nate, who has been waiting patiently. Nate, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Hey guys, y'all mentioned earlier how far back would you go? Y'all are kind of throwing that around. I want to know, if you were the NHL, how far back would you go? Because I feel like it needs to be, it's not right at 1 minute ago, then it's almost, it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah, thanks, Nate, for the call. I don't think you can go back a minute and review it. Bob on Twitter says you should go back to the blue line, onside or offside. Every goal, there's having a hard time reading this tweet. Every goal so that could go back many seconds or minutes. So basically what he's saying is within the offensive zone. Anything within the offensive zone when you have possession on a scoring play is potentially reviewable on a scoring play. If we're going to go my route and the league reviews every scoring play back in the Toronto War Room and they have basically the 40 seconds between goal scored and puck drop to flag something to the ice and stop play. I mean, the NFL has basically the same amount of time between a touchdown and extra point, right? I mean, the play clock is 40 seconds, so... Yeah.
They got to change units and get out there.
But the league is the one who says, all right, we need to review whether the ball crossed the line or whether the receiver had 2 feet in bounds or what have you.
Or because automatic review usually doesn't take long unless it's really, really close, you know. But generally speaking, you know, it takes 10, 15 seconds and they're okay with it or not.
We'll take more of your phones. Plus, we will hear what it sounded like for both the Sharks and Blues radio networks coming up next. I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. This is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5, the game streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Play the game, Nashville's NHL playoff pick'em today for your chance to win some great Preds prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details. Sign up and enter your picks before the puck drops for each game of each round. That would include Bruins Hurricanes tonight, game 4, which puck drop is shortly after 7 o'clock. So if you want to go on to thegamenashville.com and partake, you'll need to do it before 7 o'clock. This is a daily contest, so you have to make your picks prior to each game. Bruins,
can they sweep them?
The Bruins can sweep them tonight. They lead 3-0, and they will sweep them.
Ooh, okay.
That series was over after game 2. I mean, the Bruins are clearly the better team, and I think whatever magic Carolina had is simply running
dead out. Dead and gone.
I mean, when your captain is saying that you ate a poop sandwich after game 2 and your head coach is admitting that they look mentally tired after a week off between the two series,
ooh.
I don't think
– not good.
Those weren't positive vibes going into game 3, and they played okay in game 3, but ultimately lost. But that's not the series we're talking about or the game we're talking about. Sharks Blues last night. The Sharks win controversially on an apparently obvious hand pass by Timo Meier that ultimately resulted in Erik Karlsson scoring the game winning goal in overtime to give the Sharks a 2-1 series lead in the Western Conference final. We've been debating really all hour long, what can the NHL do to fix this review system, to fix the officiating, and really not just the National Hockey League? Floyd, I would say officiating in all sports, as much as it's under a microscope to some of the people on Twitter saying that, you know, the fact that we now have HD TVs and social media, that it's always been this bad, but now it's just under a microscope. But how do you fix this? How do you fix this issue? Because, I mean, you said it to start the show. There are a lot of important games right now being decided by an official. Heck, the Kentucky Derby was decided by an official.
There you go.
Like, we're getting a whole lot of controversy right now in the world of sports when it comes to officiating. Let's go to Dan, who has been waiting patiently. Dan, welcome in to Jared and the GM.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I want to just talk about the same thing you just said. This goes across all leagues. Do we need to start having a dedicated official crew that's paid by the league? They make so much money. Can they not bring in younger officials, train them, and make a better officiating crew for each and every sport that we watch, and then put in some type of replay that can, you know, help them? But that's what my question is. Give us a younger officiating crew, faster guys that can keep up with the faster athletes, and let's see what happens. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dan, for the call. Floyd?
I mean, I know in the NFL I'd be all for that. I've been talking about full-time refs now for a little bit, simply because, first of all, the continuity between games I think, is a real struggle in our league, and maybe in all leagues, or in the NHL, it may be a struggle with individual refs, but it is a struggle for all these guys to be calling the same thing the same way, especially if they only do it, you know, once a week. I don't think a business worth, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars should be determined by part-time help. I want somebody full-time that's working his butt off as hard as I am to make sure he's right, because his decision's going to affect me and my career. And for that to be, you know, determined by a five-day-a-week high school principal in Brentwood, California, and that shows up on game day and, you know, determines your career, I mean, I don't like that anymore. It's just getting too difficult.
Let's go to Lane, who wants to weigh in on this. Lane, thanks for waiting. Welcome into Jared and the GM.
Thank you guys for taking my call. Ryan, I like your idea about the 30 to 40 seconds during the celebrations to review the goals. I want to take the offsides one step further, though. I think if you're inside the offensive zone for, say, 30 seconds, there's no offside challenge. If you can't clear the zone in 30 seconds, then whatever happens is going to happen.
I would agree with that. Thanks, Lane, for the call. I mean, if there was an offsides, whether it was blatantly obvious, well, if it's blatantly obvious, it should be called. But if it's one of those where Philip Forsberg's blade of the skate is barely off the ice, and then 50 seconds later, after you have sustained offensive zone pressure, I mean, technically, yes, that's offsides. But that's not why they put the rule in.
No, that's really a pretty good idea. I mean, to get after a period of time, say, okay, offsides are no longer, you know, no longer exist for you.
Yeah, I'm going to be obvious, Floyd. I don't really like the offsides being a part of reviewing. I just think most of the calls that are getting challenged by these team video staffs, they aren't having an effect on the goal that is being scored.
That's the thing to me. This is a play that is usually minuscule. You know, it's because the big one, if you're clearly offsides, everybody's going to call it. Everybody sees it. Everybody, I mean, that's easy. But when you have to get down on your hands and knees with a magnifying glass to see if the blade of the skate is over, that's ridiculous. And it will not have, unless he could take a shot from there and it go in, it's not going to have an effect on the play anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
If NBC has to go into what they call NBC it, yeah, when they zoom in to see if the blade was on the ice or not for an offsides, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Ridiculous.
And you can review that, but you can't review the hand pass, the obvious hand pass that Timo Meier committed in the offensive zone last night that led to Erik Karlsson's goal. All right, so let's hear what it sounded like on the Blues Radio Network last night. You ready for this? This is Chris Kerber and Joe Vitale on the call for the Blues Radio Network. This is basically the entire situation. They paint a great picture here. Here's the call from the Blues Radio Network last night.
Timo Meier to the goal. Shot blocked away. Trickles to the circle. In front of the net to Nyquist, and they've scored. Karlsson on the doorstep puts it in, and the San Jose Sharks win in overtime, 5-4 with 14:37 to go in overtime.
It might be a hand pass here, Kerbs.
Yeah, but if they didn't see it, they can't review it.
They're going to talk it over. I did see a hand drop. Jordan Bennington's aggravated. Is that a reviewable play?
Nope.
Timo, it's a hand pass, 100%. A popped up puck, Timo Meier. Joe Thornton's saying you can't review it. He's putting his hands up in the air. Timo Meier is going to knock this down with his hand. It's going to go on the stick directly of Gustav Nyquist in front. Hand to stick. Nyquist is going to find Karlsson on the back door. And he puts it in the net. And Karlsson's going to pick up the puck. The San Jose Sharks are gone. They're in their locker room, except for some of the leaders still talking it over at the referees. And I don't know if the Blues have a case here. You're right, Kerbs.
They're going to call it a goal, and the Blues just got toasted. A hand pass by San Jose, missed by Mark Jonette, Dan O'Rourke, Johnny Murray, and Matt McPherson. These two guys, they pointed to center ice. And now they don't know what to say. They're still there. I don't know why they've left. They haven't left the ice. And they're going to call it a goal, and the Blues just fell victim to another horrific job by NHL officiating. Braden Schenk slaps the glass. And the NHL at this point in time has to be absolutely embarrassed by yet another officiating crew in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That was the Blues Radio Network last night, Floyd.
Wow.
There were a couple points in there where Chris Kerber, again, had to bite his tongue to the point where it was probably bleeding.
Yes.
Where he said, the Blues got toasted. I'm sure there were about 15 other words that he wanted to say.
It was interesting, though. The other guy said it went hand pass that bounced off the stick. He said that during that.
I mean.
Didn't he, Ian? I thought he did. Maybe I missed it.
We would have to go back and listen to it again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could tell that was kind of living a slow death there.
Oh, yeah.
With that radio crew.
And
they're awesome. Chris Kerber and Joe Vitale, they are awesome for the Blues Radio Network. But you could tell they realized it right away, and then they were kind of going through all the different aspects of it, and then it's like, it's over. And then they wanted to... I mean, Chris Kerber named off all four officials in the moment of like, you four are the ones to blame and the NHL should be embarrassed.
That's like, who was it, gave out the address or the phone number or whatever.
Coming up next, we'll continue this conversation and we'll get back into the poll question that is at our Twitter account at 1025 The Game. What is to blame for all these miscues in sports officiating? League rules, game speed, other, or... has it always been this bad? We'll continue that debate coming up next, plus your call, 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth in the seat of Jared Stillman's this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. It is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.